Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezevic here with you on this Friday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Adam, what's going on? How you doing?
Doing pretty good, guys. Just in a little bit of recovery mode. I parachuted into SEC Media Days. I didn't do the full week.
That's impressive.
Still exhausting.
It is an exhausting experience. So with that in mind, what stood out to you yesterday from Josh Heupel, Hendon Hooker, Cedric Tillman and company down there in Atlanta?
Well, I mean, when you just look at who they invited, I mean, Trayvon Flowers, that's fine. He's a team leader and all those sort of things. But Hendon Hooker and Cedric Tillman, there wasn't a guarantee either of those guys were going to start last year. Cedric Tillman certainly, had not set the world on fire thus far in his career before last year, before having 1,000 yards and going off in that season. And Hendon Hooker, already looked like he had his starting job that he never really had earned yet taken away by Joe Milton at this time last year. And he ended up having to go through part of the season to start. The fact that they brought those two guys, I think, sort of lends credence to this idea that Josh Heupel can take pieces that may not fit elsewhere or were not effective elsewhere and make them work in his offense. I asked Cedric Tillman yesterday, I said, what do you think about your quarterback being called a system quarterback? And didn't seem to have much of a problem with it. And I commend him for that because I think a lot of these guys, for better or worse, mostly for better in UT's case, are looked at as more as system guys in Josh Heupel's system. It worked pretty well last year. It makes you think maybe he can do it two for two and take some pieces and make this offense go.
I wasn't going to go here, but you let the record show that Adam brought the name up. So
you were going to go here.
I wasn't necessarily going to, but may as well just go here first. All right, percentage chance that Joe Milton starts for Tennessee in 2023. Right now, Adam Sparks.
Oh, boy.
Again, I'm not saying the whole season or anything like that. I'm saying the first snap of the season.
Yeah, he starts the game. I think pretty good chance. I think it's better than 50%.
Okay, wait. Let's make sure we have this clear. I'm saying in the beginning of in camp, he beats out Nico initially. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, wait. Is Taven Jackson not on the team at this point?
Yeah, I know. I've already moved. Well, look, you're talking about an 11th-year senior who can throw it at 300 yards, and you're talking about the biggest recruit ever. So I know I shouldn't just be dismissing Taven Jackson. But whoever you like, I just want the percentage chance that Joe Milton wins the starting job going into the season.
Yeah, the problem is, I mean, there's so many elements to that because you've got Taven Jackson that's a year ahead of Nico. You've got Nico coming in with all this talent. I don't think you necessarily want to throw Nico out there early, sort of because of the NIL deal. You're not supposed to think that way, I guess. But, if you – the thought is, well, you got to play him early because of an NIL deal. I think if you put him out there too early, he could look like a bust. And you want that to succeed, with or without the money that he's allegedly being paid in NIL. You want your five-star quarterback to have confidence when he goes out there, and tossing him out there as a true freshman in the opener when there's a couple of other options, I don't think necessarily gives him the best chance to be good. I mean, but now the problem with having somewhat Jackson, but also Nico on that roster is it's going to be sort of hard to go and get another quarterback in the portal. So I guess if you're not going that route in the opener, then Joe Milton's probably your option if he's still on the team. I'll find it interesting what the conversations are after the season with Joe Milton when he sits down in Josh Heupel's office and says, do I have a chance to start? And what Josh Heupel's answer is.
He's going to say yes. So you just talked it through, man. This is Team Joe. You are on Team Joe with me. I feel so good. Thank you. Thank you, Adam. It all makes sense.
When you put the conditions of will he start a game.
Well, but not just a game. Like that could be like the eighth game because someone got hurt. I'm saying he's going to win the starting job initially. So win the starting job initially. Certainly I could see a scenario where he has a couple bad games, and maybe at that point Nico's ready. But I totally agree because That's the thing. I don't know that NIL makes it all that different, but just in general, the five-star freshman, Nick Saban loved redshirting Bryce Young, right? Ohio State loved redshirting C.J. Stroud because that's such a crucial year.
Well, I'll say if Joe Milton does start the opener next year, I think it's going to have probably as much to do with what he does this season as it does in fall camp next year. Because if Hendon Hooker pulls a hamstring or something and Joe Milton, you know, plays three quarters in this game and two quarters in another game and whatever and plays reasonably well and the offense moves, that actually will sell him more than anything he does in fall camp next year. Because Josh Heupel is going to want somebody out there that can just make the machine go. And if he's seen that Joe Milton can make the machine go this year, even in small snippets, it will push him more to at least start the season with him.
We've completely hijacked all Tennessee football discussion with Joe Milton.
Do.
I'm so sorry.
It's unbelievable.
Joe Milton was not mentioned at Media Day.
It's a crime.
It's mentioned every day here on this program. Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Adam, you know, everybody's talking about this Tennessee offense, deservedly so. How concerned are you about the defense heading into this season?
Yeah, I mean, pretty concerned. I mean, they had the worst pass defense last year, obviously. Part of that's the rush. Part of that's the coverage, as it always is. I'm not concerned that they won't get it fixed to some extent this year. I'm concerned when they'll get it fixed because they had all those corners out in spring that were all hurt, so you kind of had to put pause on figuring out the combination in the secondary. They added a couple transfers, but you're going to have a couple weeks, 3 weeks to get things right and to figure out who your combination of your starters are. And I don't have a lot of confidence they can do that quickly. So what you do is you take the first month of the season and do that in real time out on the field on Saturdays. And those are games at Pitt and Florida and at LSU. And those teams know that you struggled on defense and that you're trying to figure out your secondary. And so at the end of the year, they're probably going to be much better in the secondary, but it may take a half a season. At that point, you could potentially drop two or three games that you otherwise would have won.
Anything else yet, just in this in this car wash of interviews yesterday, that really stood out? I thought you had an interesting piece on, Hooker talking about NIL, sort of without talking about Nico, but basically expressing support for, you know, I thought it was interesting that Heupel, talking about those two guys and especially Hooker, like this is what NIL is supposed to be. I think everybody would agree, right? Someone comes performs, and then you benefit, but we know that Tennessee also is benefiting from upfront NIL money. So I thought that was interesting.
NIL is good for Tennessee. A lot of people don't like it. I understand that. Traditionalists don't like it. I completely understand that. But if you're saying if NIL never existed, would that be better or worse for Tennessee? It's better that it does exist for Tennessee. It's better for any school that can put 100,000 fans that can all write a $100 check, or most can, into a collective. If you've got that, which few programs do, it's good for you. It's good for programs that have sort of been to the top before but haven't been there a while and they're hungry, and that's where you're seeing a lot of movement with collectives. Tennessee and Miami and Nebraska and Oregon and Texas, these are programs that are trying to make a move and are tired of Alabama and Georgia and others being at the top, and that's why they jumped ahead in the collectives. And so it's good for Tennessee. Josh Heupel knows that, and, he's going to take advantage of it.
Anything else among the scene yesterday that really stood out to you? It seemed to me like, I'd say, like Heupel, seemed to be a little more, loose, I guess, kind of laid back. I thought he was pretty good. Hooker was really good. Anything else that really jumped out?
He tried to make the golf ball Lane Kiffin joke land, which I explained to Nick Suss, one of my colleagues that asked that question. I said, well, he's told a joke similar to that to fan groups about a dozen times, and it always gets a laugh. It didn't get much of a laugh in that room, which surprised him a little bit, which is why he instantly, apologized or said it was a joke or whatever. So he's still trying to feel himself out a little bit of what his personality is going to be at Media Days. I think all these coaches end up falling into something. I mean, Jimbo, I love watching Jimbo at those things. It's exhausting to some extent, but he does have a personality that he brings, and Mike Leach has his own. So Josh Heupel's sort of this affable guy that'll say a few jokes, maybe dad jokes. They don't always land, but I think he's starting to figure out sort of who he's going to be in that space.
Well, that audience is, you just get lulled to sleep too, right? Like, I mean, you just, it's just the droning and droning. I love Bob Holt, at least.
Bob Holt keeps it going.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you've ever been sitting with your wife and she's telling you a long story and you're looking at Twitter on your phone and nodding, that's what that whole room is.
There is no way.
200 sports writers looking at their screens typing. While a coach's voice is in the background saying something. You don't know what it is, but it's something.
There is no way you do that at home. You're trying to tell me you do not do that at home.
Well, I'd say sometimes if your wife is looking at Twitter and you're telling
her. Oh, there we go.
That's actually how it would be more here, especially with a sports story.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's way more into all these Vols comments than you are.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And if there's something critical that I put up, I get the text or the call. That's when the head snaps up. Can you believe somebody wrote some crap like this? Honey, that's mine.
Yep, that was me.
That's mine.
I did that. Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Adam, great stuff as always. Thanks for making time for us this morning.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good one.
You as well. Adam Sparks, our guest. We'll take your thoughts on the Vols. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll get Joe's main takeaways from Tennessee's Media Day yesterday as well.
Yeah, before we go to break, Bev Goodman Sparks, you should follow on Twitter, Bevy Good, the absolute biggest Tennessee/Braves fan in the history of humankind, I promise you. And she's hilarious.
And she will give it to Adam Sparks. No
Bevy
question.
Good, at Bevy Good.
Adam better write some nice things.
Write some nice things about
Tennessee. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 of the game. Thanks to noted Tennessee baseball fan and Rocky Top supporter Michelle Knezovic for playing this song coming back in. Appreciate it.
I do really just love this song.
Loves Rocky Top. Loves Tennessee baseball. Got the makings of the winds changing in here.
Turncoat. Total turncoat in there.
Bandwagoner.
We also have some great combo from the Sparkses right now. The Sparkses. Bev says, because apparently she was listening, I'm a teacher and a mom. It's called multitasking. I can be on Twitter watching baseball and listening to Adam Sparks at the same time. And Adam responds, case in point, why are you listening to Nashville Sports Talk while working at school? All right, maybe we can get a little couple fight going.
Well,
here.
We know Bev's...
It's still summer, though, right?
Well, Bev's a big fan of...
Well, yeah, but a couple weeks from... I mean, 2 weeks from today, my kids go back to school.
Yeah, they're probably
so
in there.
They're probably in there. Yep. Yeah. Yep, yep, yep.
It's crazy to think about, by the way. It's mid-July. They're about to go back to school. It's unbelievable.
Sucks to be them.
It does. We know that Bev's probably a big fan of Robbie and Rex Road anyway. I mean, who's not?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, absolutely.
Who's not a big fan of this program?
Yeah, not many. We're the only show in town that everybody listens to.
That's right. So what stood out to you yesterday from Tennessee Media Day? There's obviously, you know, you get to day four, slog at this point. Not much coming out from Tennessee yesterday, but what stood out to you?
Well, good for Sparkles for only having to go to the one day.
Yeah,
that's solid for him. I thought that Tennessee was good. The stuff that and we're gonna play some, right?
Yeah, we'll have
Michelle and Caroline.
Michelle and Caroline's interview with Hendon Hooker and Cedric Tillman come up at 9:30.
Yeah, I mean what I saw and heard, you know, it was a good day of interviews. Nothing too groundbreaking. There was the news about Brew McCoy still not being eligible, which is interesting. And that's, I mean, you know, the
potentially a big deal.
The quote is, you know, there's another hurdle we still got to clear. And Sparks wrote about this. For him to be completely eligible, is what Heupel said. He's a big storyline, 6'3", 220. We talked about him yesterday, five-star prospect. I mean, he was the number one athlete in the 2019 recruiting class. Sometimes that stuff gets overrated down the road. He also was arrested, it was almost exactly a year ago, suspicion of felony intimate partner violence following an alleged incident with an ex-girlfriend, suspended. Charges were not filed due to insufficient evidence. And then his girlfriend wouldn't cooperate, so the Title IX investigation was dropped. So I don't know how much that plays into this, or if this is purely a school thing. But regardless, yeah, it's a guy you want day one at camp. He's in your program now. Those things are behind him, and he's a very potentially important part of this team.
I thought it was interesting that you start to take a look at Heupel. He did kind of seem a little bit more laid back, I guess is the proper term, yesterday. A little bit more comfortable in his own skin with where his program is heading into year two, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, he tried to make – because I'm trying to think of how many times Josh Heupel's really tried to make jokes.
It's not very often.
I mean, if you did a scale of whether they're funny or not, just attempted – like Brian Kelly's way high on the list of attempted jokes.
Oh, attempted jokes.
Most of them are terrible.
Yeah.
He's a bad joke maker.
He's trying.
He's got to
I guess.
Got to run him over with his family out there. Maybe get some better advice.
Yeah. So he tries a lot. Now, some people are actually funny, like Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach. Like Clark Lee. Does Clark Lee try to make jokes? I can't recall a Clark Lee.
Maybe more in a private setting.
Here and there. He did. He said something about Greg Sankey at the luau, right?
He did.
But Heupel, I can't remember him trying. So maybe this is like a little more chilled out.
Maybe.
But you got to try to make – I think you do have to try to make a golf ball joke, right? I mean, I think that was good. It just didn't land because it's exactly like Sparks said. I don't know, like, okay, when those presses are going on, Michelle, you guys are
– So we actually went down for Heupel's.
You go – okay, but for the most part, you're in the other room in like Radio Row. Yeah.
Correct.
So you've experienced that room while they're in the presser. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's like a movie when you like the movie Old School where they're at like the insurance meeting and it's
just
like
glazed over.
Have my drink ticket. Okay, I'm leaving now, man.
Well, the funny part was
you haven't seen that movie, have you?
I have seen Old School.
Oh.
When he shout out to my stepdad Dan for making me watch that. Probably I was way too young for it. But when he made the golf ball joke, everybody, you know, like you said, everybody's kind of just like staring. And then the media is like, oh, my gosh. It's like, okay, let's relax. It wasn't that serious.
There was some clutching of pearls.
Yeah, people kind of like looked up for a second. It's like, okay, he was just trying to make a joke.
It might have been because it's hypo, because you don't expect that.
They come from the Kentucky side. Matt Jones in there in his Kentucky pajamas getting mad at Josh.
Like, oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. What's going on?
Stoops would never.
Stoops is the same way, though, as hypo. He kind of is awkward as well. And then we'll try to maybe make a joke or something. And then it's very much secondhand embarrassment if you're standing near, listening, or also in the audience. Secondhand embarrassment is a real thing.
I love that.
No, it's so uncomfortable. It's worse than embarrassing yourself.
No, it's awesome.
There's a lot of...
Heupel's got nothing to be embarrassed about. He's done a good job so far.
No, Heupel has done a very good job. But yeah, I'm just thinking of the league now, and it really is. I mean... I guess Jimbo's kind of – there's a lot of what's the word? Stodginess in the league, kind of. I mean, Harsin, by the way, we talked about this a little bit there, but I thought he did a good job of handling his
situation,
dumb situation, which was not of his doing. And this is totally off topic, but did you guys see the stuff that Narduzzi was saying?
No.
Friend of the show. Actually, this kind of goes into something we're kind of going to talk about, but he's talking about the Big Ten's not that good because they should have beat Michigan State in the bowl game, but he made a comment about Jordan Addison going to USC that, I'm trying to find it. It's not great. Basically, like, he had the best quarterback in the country throwing to him, and, you know, like to paraphrase, kind of like we made him what he is, and then you don't appreciate it. Narduzzi's
friend of the show,
tremendously honest, which I appreciate. But also, it's like, I mean, when I hear something like that, it's like, man, you know, the kid is pretty good too on his own. as we'll probably see at USC and the NFL, right?
Yes. But I also understand the frustration of
sure.
putting time into a player, then all of a sudden they say, all righty, I'm out here. We'll see you later.
And pretty clear from the front, from the onset, that it was USC and it was an NIL deal, and that's the reality. Yep. I mean, that is just – that's the reality of what's going to be happening more and more. So if you want to be in coaching, it can be very lucrative, very rewarding, and it is a way harder job than it used to be.
I don't think there's any question about that. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We have something special we want to talk about coming up next from Joe Rexroad. He may actually take a side against the college athlete. What does this world come to? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on 1025, 1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I got some tickets to give away to see the Smashing Pumpkins and Jane's Addiction coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Monday, October the 10th. Be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see the Smashing Pumpkins and Jane's Addiction coming up at Bridgestone Arena Monday, October 10th, 615-737-1025. We're talking college football, college athletics, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. 1025. So, Joe, this is an era in college athletics that seems to be evolving by the day. And, you know, a lot of the conversation, Hendon Hooker talked about this yesterday too, was about capping NIL money. There's a whole lot of discussion out there, even beyond the transfer portal and conference expansion, just NIL by itself. There's a lot going on out there in today's world of college athletics. But there's a proposal out there involving athlete freedom that has you up in arms. What's going on out there?
Well, I think this is the first time that I'm now going to pivot and become old man yelling at cloud when it comes to these changes. Not understand changes when it comes to college athletes, not realignment, which is right. Stupid, but and really is the bigger existential threat to college athletics. But I got to say, this to me is a mistake. I believe. And the NIL stuff, I think I've made it clear. The idea of capping what someone can earn is completely a joke, in my opinion.
Correct.
And it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. Stop. If your school isn't doing this stuff, start a collective. I don't know what to tell you. But that's how it is, and I think that's how it's going to be. And this idea that there's going to be some congressional interference or they're going to set guardrails, no. No, stop. But athlete, in terms of movement, okay, I liked the one-time transfer rule where you don't have to sit out. And a big part of that is, if you recall, we started to go through it. Look, any little loophole, any little opening in this world, this competitive, this lucrative, this intense, people are going to bust through it. And so you started getting these waivers. You know, because of course the rule forever was you have to sit out a year when you transfer. So we went through this process with all these waivers, and a lot of it, it's like, you know, my aunt has the sniffles. You know, I mean, it's like you're coming up with some personal reason why you must be able to transfer and play right away. And
I remember the Cade Mays one in Tennessee. Oh, my brother is there. There you go.
I mean, it's true. Like it wasn't wrong.
Yeah.
So, the one-time transfer where you don't have to sit out makes sense. You get rid of that stuff, and it's just like, okay, you can do it one time. And I think that's good. And I think it goes along with athletes being empowered, being able to get more out of this whole situation, be able to move around in a sport where, of course, or in sports where, of course, we see coaches leave jobs all the time for higher-paying jobs. But the Division I Council yesterday endorsed the elimination of the NCAA rule prohibiting multiple transfers. So essentially, this would allow just free transferring year after year after year without sitting. This is going up for the D1 Board of Directors vote August 3rd. I really hope they don't approve this.
I agree.
And this is where it gets, and it's kind of, I mean, I guess I'm kind of contradicting myself because I've been, yes, yes, freedom, money, more for the athletes, okay? But I've always still believed, even with the one-time transfer or with transferring and how they should be allowed to do it, I've always still believed, and I think this goes back down to high school too, way too many kids and parents are way too fast to just give up on something now and not see it out and not get the reward of actually going through adversity at a place and having some humbling and letting that make you better. And so that's my bigger concern beyond, like, the coaches are going to freak out. This is just total free agency. And look, the Jordan Addison thing we brought up last segment, so that can happen now, the way the rules are. That can happen one time in a player's career. Right. So now you're looking at a situation where you just year after year, I'm going to go to this team, I'm going to go to this team, play this year.
You think how many different teams Joe Milton could start for a quarterback if this gets put into place. My God.
Let the record show. You brought up Joe Milton. Let the record show. I think you're more obsessed with Joe Milton than I am.
I'm a big Joe Milton guy.
But I hope they don't. I don't like this. I think one time's fair, and it's not like you can't transfer another time, but I think City – let's also talk about these are college athletes. So it is not simple. Even – so we talk about Vanderbilt in terms of an example of, like, it's tough for them to use a portal as much and things like that because, like, they have rigorous standards academically. And it's not as simple as just, okay, come on in and leave. But a lot of universities don't just match credit for credit. Like, it's that easy. Snap your fingers and you just transfer all your credits. People are, I think, trying to get degrees here. And the vast, vast majority of these people are not going to make a ton of money playing professional sports. They need to get their degrees. So this, to me, this also is problematic in that way. So, yeah, I'm old man yelling at cloud on this one. I hope they don't approve this. I think it's too much, and I think it's just fair to have the one and then sit, other than that, if you're going to transfer, and leave it at that. I don't think that that's too confining to athletes, and I think it's just – look, I just think it's better for a lot of people. I don't want people to not have options, but I think it's – better for most people when they don't immediately start and star to go ahead and go back to the drawing board and understand you just got to a higher level and you were the best player at your high school or whatever. Well, guess what? That's not the case anymore. So go back to work. Be a good teammate. Be a backup. I mean, it's, you know, we have, there's a lot of things that I don't like about how sports are going, and that is one of them. The parents and players who have these delusions about how good they are and how it's somebody else's fault if it doesn't work out perfectly for them right away.
I agree, and I'll say this. Like, I'm glad the one-time transfer is a thing, because my biggest problem with this used to be, well, okay, so you're telling me that these kids, if they want to transfer schools, they got to sit out a year, but Johnny Coach over here can just pack up and leave anytime he wants to, and he can have a job the next year, and that's that, and nobody bats an eyelash at it. So that used to really bother me about transferring in college football. But I think one's probably good. Like, one time of, all right, it's not working out here the way you thought it would. Go pick somewhere else. Go transfer. And that's it. Like, that's your decision. You got to live with it at that point. So the last thing I want to see is just unlimited transferring and people leaving schools left and right every year because it's not going the way they thought it would go. One time's enough. Like, one time is, I think, perfect, and I'm glad they did that.
And in your scenario, too, I'm okay with, okay, this coach just left us, like exceptions to the rule because of that. Sure. I'm okay with that. That a waiver for that. But, yeah, it's I rejected, and I still reject, this idea that college sports is going to lose all these fans because people love amateurism. Like, they're just kids out there, the student athletes. I mean, if you really pay attention to, like, college football, then you understand that this has already become professionalized a ton over decades, right? So I've never bought that. But I do buy that if you have totally different teams every year and, like, the star player that you followed, the star player's recruitment, and the star player comes in, and then all of a sudden he just goes to, like, your rival, and then he goes to another rival the next year. I do think that enough of that is damaging to fan support. So I hope they vote it down. I got to say, like, I was surprised to see just that as a proposal. Obviously, there's a lot of deregulation. The NCAA is moving toward just not enforcing anything. But we're still talking about college athletics, and you still have scholarship limitations. You know, you still have to be eligible in school. Like, there are still rules, and there should still be rules. Just take the rules away in terms of making money, and then everything else, I think, you know, it's fair to have some structure.
Keith on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, simple solution, if you accept NIL money, you sign a 3-year non-compete clause. He also then points out, if you can't cap money, you also can't tell them where to work. This comes from Keith on the text line.
Well, I will say this, Keith, and we've talked about this too, but for example, let's say, oh, I don't know, a hypothetical 4-year, $8 million deal, which if things went well for the hypothetical player with this hypothetical deal, might end up being a 3-year, $6 million deal because that player goes to the NFL after 3 years, you know, if all works as hoped. But I think with a lot of these situations, and there has been talk of this, and I think some contracts have this, there is some exclusivity built in, like this deal is dependent on you. And again, you can't say playing for X school, but you can say doing X number of events in, let's say, a hypothetical town of Knoxville.
Lexingville.
Yeah, there you go, Lexingville. Yeah, Knoxington. The hypothetical Lexingville, thank you. So that would kind of, some of these big deals could sort of tie players to the place. But then again, even if you have that, yeah, I mean, the non-compete's interesting. I mean, I hadn't thought about that. That's interesting. But even if you have that, that wouldn't necessarily stop another collective from saying, well, how about we double that deal? And you just tear that one up and come make more over here, right? So just one time. One time's fine. It's fair, I think. But I don't know. I feel like this could happen. And I'm interested to see these coaches complain too much, especially about the NIL stuff. Boy, this goes
this
through
one to another level.
Yeah, first week of training camp is going to be a lot of talk about this.
I don't think there's any question about that. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll have the Red Rant with Michelle Knezovic coming up next. We are your racing station. 1025, 1063, The Game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1 o'clock for the Pocono 400. Also, you can join Chase McCabe every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock for Chasing Checkers as he talks to the drivers and gets you set for racing weekend. NASCAR on 1025, 1063, The Game is presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 1025 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on 1025, 1063 The Game. Today it is the Red Rant with Michelle Knezovic. Fresh off a trip to SEC Media Days down in Atlanta, Michelle is back in the house today. Michelle, I turn things over to you.
Well, also, Joe, I kind of like that song. The beginning is bad, but I like when they go, well, well, well.
No, the beginning when they slowly and then they start rocking.
Yeah, it's a little aggressive.
It's going to be her new theme song.
It is aggressive. It's awesome.
I wasn't ready for that in my ear. But you guys know that when I have a rant, and I texted you guys this last weekend, and I was like, book it, Friday, I'll be in studio.
Yeah, this has been boiling up for a while now.
Been boiling up, and after a stressful week, we're just going to get all the anger out and the rantness out. So, as many of you know, I've mentioned on the show, I have a side gig, right? So I bartend on the side and make a little extra money. And last weekend, before, went to SEC Media Day, worked like 28 hours, right? So I've been there for, and maybe it was just the built-upness. But I bartended for a while, you know, and you deal with a bunch of different types of characters. And this is not a 3 o'clock in the morning bar. This is a very, like, during the day, people coming through, things like that. So it's about 3 in the afternoon. And
getting after it.
Yeah. This was after I had worked the morning show, right? 3 in the afternoon-ish. So I'd already been up for almost 13 hours. And there was another woman bartending with me. She's my coworker. She's awesome. And so we were tag teaming. The whole bar was full. And then we get these guys who come in, and they're already very, very drunk, I guess you could say. So they're in the corner, and we're checking out, and my coworker's like, oh, God, these people are already, they're already starting stuff. And I'm like, okay, great. So made some comments to her that were just very out of pocket, inappropriate, and she was like, I'm not dealing with this. So then they're kind of like screaming, and this is just like a very, you know, not that type of place. And I'm like, oh, God, these people. So then the one guy looks at me and he's like, can you make a drink for my friend over there? I want to buy a guy a drink. And basically they continue just to like hoot and holler and just like completely just the stuff they're saying just so bad. And I'm like, okay, you need to settle down. And then I just completely start ignoring them. So the guy was like, Oh, you hate us. You're mad at us. And I'm like, and I looked at him and I said, you know, first off, I'm supposed to work. So I said, no, I don't hate you. I said, I think the way that you're speaking to me and my coworker is extremely inappropriate and disrespectful. And I don't appreciate that. And then, of course, when you say something, he's like, what? I'm just kidding. Because that is automatically, it's like when you say, oh, but no offense. No.
With all due respect?
Well, yeah, like you said that, oh, I'm kidding, because somebody actually called you out for your behavior. And so, of course, I'm going to say something. I'm going to stick up for myself. People, maybe 18-year-old Michelle wouldn't have, but I'm like, no, that's, I said, sir, do you have a daughter? He said, yeah, I have a daughter. I said, picture this. Let's put this scenario out there. You walk into a bar, your daughter's bartending, and you see somebody at the bar speaking to her that way. I said, how would that make you feel? He was like, well, but I was joking. Okay. Then, now this is what got me mad. The friend sitting next to him looks at me and goes, well, you're a bartender, so you should take this. You should know how to banter with people. I was like, whoa, there. I said, I've been a bartender for a very long time. I said, I know how to have a conversation. I know how to like banter with people, have a fun time, joke around. I said, that was not a joke. So my rant is, if you see a friend of yours or you know somebody who is just acting, I don't care if you're drunk, I don't care whatever, I don't care if you're trying to be funny.
Acting a fool.
You know when you cross the line. And do not be that friend who sits there and says, Well, this is you. You just need to relax. You just need to calm down. When, like, I told my boss and they basically were like, sir, you are not allowed back here, you know? So I talked to my friends about this, and I had another friend. Similar situation. He was a boy, right? And similar situation at a bar. Somebody was saying something. He was like, hey, dude, can you stop saying that to me, you know? And then finally was like, hey, I'm going to kick you out if you keep, like, talking this way. And the friend next to him said, well, like, he's just joking. I think a lot of times when people are at bars, they're drunk, and I get it, but it also does not excuse behavior to just, like, berate people. And then when this guy left the bar, the guys next to him were like, we apologize on behalf of his behavior. I'm like, oh, but you couldn't have said it to his face when I'm just standing there uncomfortable trying to hold my own. So, yeah, that is my red rant today, and I'm heated again about it. So be nice to people at a bar and don't be disrespectful. And if you see your friend being disrespectful, don't just say they were joking and try to stand up for them when you know they were actually in the wrong, because that is actually being a good friend.
So I want to clarify. So the comments, are we talking like inappropriate?
Yes.
Okay. Like stuff you wouldn't say, you wouldn't share right now?
Well, called my coworker a stripper because her name is something unique. And then made several other comments relating that, and then kind of.
Yeah, that's.
That's where it started. So, yeah.
It's probably like there's some level of, like, it's a job hazard, but, you know, it's like, why can't people just treat people well.
Well, it's that combination of, first off, it's people, whether you're drunk or sober out in public places.
Yeah.
I'm always amazed at like how people treat, whether it's servers, bartenders, whoever, but how people treat, I mean, we've had discussions like this before, how people treat people who handle your food and drinks.
I'm
usually always pretty cognizant of, this person is handling stuff that's going into my body. Probably ought to be nice. Like, I want to be nice anyway, but when I'm picking battles, it's usually not with people that are handling my food. That's just generally been a life principle of mine.
That's probably good. Yeah, that's probably good philosophy.
So, just wild.
Like, I don't
wild.
Think anybody would do anything, but you never know.
How old were these guys?
Dad ages. Probably around your age, Joe.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, like, you'd think that, like, by the time you get to this age that you'd be less of a jerk.
And, like,
maybe not.
I wouldn't even, like, condone it for a 20-year-old, but, like, really? Like, it was almost like they were trying to be funny, like, and he was trying to, like.
Well, you get people together, like, they're trying to show off, trying to do all this other stuff. It is what it is. Like, to your point about eventually, and I will do this, and I do this sometimes, it leads to uncomfortable conversations with friends of mine, but. Like, if there's a friend or family member with me eating that's acting like a jerk to the waiter or waitress or bartender or whoever, I'll look at him and be like, hey, what the hell is wrong with you? Stop.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
And, like, why is it, like, to me, it's not fun. Like, it's not cool. It's not like,
no.
Oh, let's harass someone who's trying to work right now and, like, bring us things, you know? Like, if that's the group of people they think that's funny. I mean, I understand that, like, drunkenness probably played a part in this, but still, like, come on. Like, if you're conscious enough to go in and order a drink, you should know that that's stupid. Were these guys come fresh off the golf course?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which didn't help, but, yeah, it'll be great when we get to see him again.
Well, now, hey, if your previous rants are any indication, these guys are going to be tail tucked between legs next time they come in there.
That's right.
They better be.
Listen, you stand up for yourself, people out there. And if your friend is being an a-hole, a jerk, something, you look at your friend and you tell them to stop it. Because I think of when we're in elementary school, right? And you learn about bullying and stuff like that. And if you see it happening, you are equally as to blame for. Because if you just sit there, don't say anything, and you're like, oh, that's really bad that that's happening. Yeah, just... Let's be good people.
Yeah. No, calling someone out like Robbie just talked about.
Exactly.
It's not easy sometimes, but yeah, do that.
Jordan on the text line says, watch the movie Waiting and you'll never be rude again. That's basically where my life philosophy comes from when it comes to food is I did watch the movie Waiting and I was like, you know what? I think I'll just leave things alone when it comes to my food. I'll just, if you get the order wrong, I'll be nice about it. I mean, you got to do some pretty extreme stuff to me at a restaurant for me to be upset. I generally just deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, take away the whole, like, the food thing. Just, like this is hard work.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Have some respect for these people. Mm-hmm. What's the movie Waiting?
Yeah, well, it's the first thing I ever saw Ryan Reynolds in, which is why I can take him seriously in nothing else, because he was in this movie. But it's got Dane Cook in it. It's a life experience to watch this movie.
Okay.
He's moving to Nashville with Blake Lively.
Ryan Reynolds is?
Fun fact.
Well,
everybody come on.
Everybody just keeps coming, I guess.
Hopefully they'll be kind to their servers.
Hopefully so. This has been the Red Rant. You can check out our rants every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.